Shoot the defense, the best podcast in the world. We're out here.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you've played against?
Henry. Oh,
God.
And the fact that we are now taking our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, and send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Shoot the... Are you in the bath again, Rod?
No.
I hear splashing water and I thought, you know what? He's interrupting my introduction. Who's in the bath? Andy?
No, it was me washing my hands.
Oh, you're washing your hands? Okay. You didn't sing happy. You didn't sing happy birthday and do it for 20 seconds. So I'm appalled.
No, it was 12, 15 seconds,
okay.
Government guidelines.
All right, fair enough. Well, this is Shoot the Defence. This is an end-of-season review with an added Spanish twist, which I'll go into in just a moment. That voice was Rodri Giggs. How you doing, Rod?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, all good. You missed Sunday's show. You missed all the shenanigans. It was fun. He's disappeared. He's put himself on mute. Excellent. I think it's because he remembers that we were talking about Eddie Howe and absolutely ripping him to bits.
Yeah, good mate. You.
Look at this guy.
You?
Yeah, I said you missed Sunday show. Did you not hear a word I said?
Pardon?
I said, fucking hell. I said you missed Sunday show. You missed all the shenanigans.
Oh, no, yeah. It sounded like a live one as well. I love your German accent.
You know what? I wasn't even practicing. It just came out.
Yeah, you've had... Fuck off. You've had some practicing. Now you've been doing that in the mirror. You've gone, fuck off.
I swear I wasn't...
That as well as you hating on Eddie... Stabbing Eddie out fucking Teddy at night.
Oh, mate, I promise I haven't been using my daughter's hairbrush as a microphone while practicing a Daniel Farke accent. Oh, well, great time.
I don't know what you're more happy with, United getting top four or Bournemouth getting relegated. Which one is it?
Well, listen, with the United one, I wasn't too anxious about it because I had faith in our players. But with Bournemouth, it was relying on the likes of Watford and Aston Villa to get results, and we know
and the fix is in VAR with goal line technology, so Bournemouth go down.
Hold on a second.
No, there's a stewards inquiry still going on about that.
No. It's not going to get reversed. Don't worry about it. It's not going to get reversed. If that's the case, then Bolton Wanderers might as well be back in the Premier League because of that one decision that went against them against Everton. Come on.
No.
Oh, God.
Hawkeye has never failed, yet it failed on Eddie.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, that wasn't it?
Yeah.
9,000 games. Poor Eddie.
Watched it on tennis for years. No problems, nothing. Comes to football, my mate Eddie, and he's been shafted.
Your mate Eddie? This guy, my mate Eddie.
To let you know, I've never met Eddie out in the life.
Okay. All right. Just poor Eddie Howe. Oh, poor Eddie. Poor Eddie.
I like the violins.
All right. Okay. Andy, welcome back to the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, mate. You? Everyone good?
Yeah, we're good. See, I told you, it's completely gone back to 2012, the way that we started the show.
I know, I'm worried about this, that we're going to get shit again.
We can never go that direction, Andy. We're fine.
Roy Hodgson's going to be named Liverpool manager tomorrow, isn't he? I'm getting flashbacks, man.
those were dark days for you, man. Dark days.
I know.
But to be fair, you had more hair then, so.
Yes, I did.
There you go. I think we all did.
And no tattoos.
Oh, yes. That's right. Okay, well, look, let's introduce our guest because he's been waiting patiently. He's probably thinking, what the fuck is going on here? He's our friend from Spain. Antonio, how you doing?
I'm doing good, my mate. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good.
Fantastic.
So what did you make of our introduction? This is what we do practically every week now.
Okay, sounds good, man.
It does sound good, doesn't it? Blimey, brilliant. Well, Antonio, before we start the show, do you want to tell everyone what you do with yourself day to day? Because you've got a very important job, don't you?
Well, not that important, man.
Oh, come on.
If you think so.
Yes.
Well, I'm a social media manager, community manager as well, of the Real Valladolid Football Club, La Liga. I was as well a member of the communication department, and now on the marketing side. So, yeah, I'm holding up there, pushing towards a brighter future. Now, we ended up La Liga in the 16th position of La Liga standing after we promoted a couple of years ago. It's promising. Looks promising. We are growing step by step, and it's an amazing opportunity I took back, like in December 2018. So, yeah, it's an amazing job and an amazing place to work for.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you said that the club has saved themselves from relegation. They're still going to be in La Liga next season.
Yes.
What is the actual remit of the club every season? Do you guys want to be challenging for European spots, or is it primarily to stay up every season?
Well, we promoted in 2018 before summer. So, I don't know if you know, guys, in September 2018, Ronaldo Nazario, the Brazilian legend, bought the majority of the stakes of the club. So he's the owner of the club, and we have been growing since then. And he has been saying openly that the objective, the goal, in about 4 or 5 seasons, is to be able to reach European competitions, to qualify for playing in Europe, Europa League, for example. So, by the moment, our main goal is to stay up. But last season, we fight almost until the last date of the season. And this one, we have been more tranquil. We have three days before the end of the season, we got the salvation, as we like to say here in Spain. So yeah, we are improving step by step, and we can see the growth of the club is experiencing has been amazing in this 1 year and a half, almost 2 years. So I don't know, step by step. Having the feet on the ground, but looks like the goal of the club is 3-4 seasons, I don't know, being able to compete for the European positions, qualifying for Europe.
Yeah, it's been a difficult season for certain clubs like Valencia and Villarreal. We know that Unai Emery has taken charge, and they came fifth this season. But Valencia came ninth, which is a very ominous position for them, given the circumstances. Oh. From what we've heard, there'll be a lot of players being sold this summer. I don't think Peter Lim is happy with the way that club is run, and make of that what you will. So, yeah, getting a European spot is very difficult in La Liga, especially with clubs like Sociedad and Granada coming to the fore.
It is indeed. There are four main clubs: Real Madrid, Atletico, Barcelona, and then Sevilla is always there as well, fighting to Europa League, Champions League, Valencia this season, Real Sociedad, Villarreal as well qualified because they made a really good after the post lockdown. They did pretty well as Atletico Madrid. Valencia was run out of any chances of qualifying for Europe, and really disappointing. Getafe, they were almost the whole season close to Champions League even position, and finally they dropped the ball. So yeah, I think it's pretty difficult. for qualifying for the Europa League positions. I think it's more difficult even in England, because I think the competition in the Premier League is between the class is tougher. But yeah, it's a huge goal. It's a huge goal. It's a huge huge one. But you know, no. The important thing is here that they wanna take one risk at a time, and who knows? You know, we have played in Europe other times. We qualified I don't know if you remember this competition that was only with the winners of the cup of each country.
The Cup Winners' Cup, European Cup Winners'
the
Cup.
The Cup Winners'
yeah.
Cup,
yeah.
Yeah. So we played this competition once or twice, I think so, and UEFA, the former UEFA Europa League as well a couple of times in our history. So we know playing about playing in Europe, but we come from a stage of this year was our best position, and we achieved the best position in the last 18 years. So it's difficult. It's difficult. Mm. We come from 4 or 5 years in second division.
Yeah, well, they've come a long way. So let's see what the future holds.
There you go. Yeah.
Right, let's talk Premier League. And Antonio, you got some of your views as well, which we'll touch on in just a moment. But let's discuss the top five. Liverpool won the league at a canter. Prior to COVID, we knew Liverpool were going to win it. In fact, I think we were saying back in December that Liverpool were going to win the league. Andy, I don't know if I've asked you this before on the show, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but you guys had a fantastic season last year. I know you came second and you missed out by a point or so, but did you expect to win the league at such a canter? Because we were saying, you know, August, July time, Liverpool will be the favourites because City just... there's something that didn't look right about them even then, even when they won the league. But were you surprised to see your team win the league so far?
Yeah, to be honest, I was really disappointed last year to not win it on 97 points, because I never felt we could get anywhere near. I just thought it was one of them freak seasons where Man City and Liverpool just pushed each other like absolute animals and took themselves to another level. So I never quite thought we would get to the same points as what we did last year. So that was pretty surprising. Did I think that we could win it? I've got to be honest with you, I still felt City were favourites, especially when we never really signed anyone as well in the summer. I felt City were still the favourites. But, you know, fair play to us. We turned it on to another level compared to last year. I know we only lost one game last year and we lost three this year, but we got to 99 points, mate. So I just find it incredible.
There you go. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Yeah. All right. So what do you think the summer holds? I know we're in the summer now, but what do you think the transfer window holds for your club? Because we've seen Adam Lallana move to Brighton. There's been a few rumours about Origi possibly leaving, Shaqiri, etc., etc. Can you see Jurgen Klopp enhancing the squad? Because you told me on the show a few weeks ago that Timo Werner, that deal was dead in the water during COVID. So,
yeah.
Do you think you'll spend big this summer?
No, don't still. And the socials already becoming a bit toxic. I think some Liverpool fans have actually already forgotten that we've won the league. Some of them are going on like, you know, we've just survived relegation. To be fair, the way they're going on about this, what Jurgen Klopp's come out and said. Listen, Liverpool are running a certain way still, as you know, with our owners. They don't want to get into the same old, you know, problems that the previous owners got into. You know, they're a self-sufficient club. They buy to sell and they sell to buy. Simple. It's always been that way under Jurgen Klopp. I mean, a chart was released today, 2019 transfer fees for Liverpool's £4.4 million, which is mental still, you know, and it just shows that unless someone significant from the team is leaving, I can't see anyone significant coming in. And I think Jurgen Klopp's made that pretty clear in his press conferences. He's not
You know, he's not using reverse psychology and, you know, trying to bluff the press. I don't think I've ever seen Jurgen Klopp bluff the press. He's done it last year. He said we weren't signing anyone last year, and he was right. We didn't. So, you know, I think we've brought in Taki Minamino. He's the only signing we've made in 2.5 seasons still. And he was only £7.7 million. So I can't see anyone. I mean, there's a lot of talk in Germany regarding Thiago. Mm. I don't know if you've seen that.
Alcantara,
you know, there's a lot of talk about Thiago, but that's from Germany, from our journalists over here, like, you know, your James Pierce's and your Athletics, like the David Ornsteins and all these guys. They're just adamant Liverpool are not buying anyone with any significance this year unless we lose a big player. And the only big player I can see us losing still at the moment is Gini Wijnaldum. Mm. Because there seems to be some sort of stalling on his contract. I don't know whether it's on his side or our side. I'm not too sure. And he's hitting 30 years old now. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what your opinion is. I think Gini Wijnaldum is Liverpool's best midfielder, if I'm being honest. I think he's just a brilliant football player. And I'd be sad to see him go. But I think if someone like him does go, then maybe we'll see someone coming in. But other than that, still, I think our transfer business is going to be very quiet. Might see a little surprise here and there, like a, you know, £15-20 million player. Because as you said, Lallana's gone now. Dejan Lovren left, which I felt we got good money for a 31-year-old to go to Zenit, St. Petersburg. I think it was £12 million, that deal.
That's
so, yeah. I think Shaqiri will be going as well. I think Divock Origi will be going still. He had quite a weird moment after the Chelsea game last week. He just stood by himself in front of the cop after everyone had left. I don't know what he was doing there. But I think maybe that's just a sign that he's going to be off as well. So maybe if we can clear another two or three players, we might see some sort of movement. But I don't think you're going to see the sort of movement that Chelsea are making, Manchester United are going to make, Man City, obviously. I don't know if you've seen the news. They look like they're in for... Antonio might be able to tell us. But for Ferran Torres from... is it Valencia?
Valencia, yeah.
Yeah,
Ferran Torres.
Yeah, I mean, that deal, by the sounds of it, sounds like it's done. So I don't think we're going to hit anywhere near them levels still, to be fair, mate.
Okay. Rod, now, we spoke about this a few weeks ago on the pod. In fact, I think it was a few days ago, about how when United were winning title after title, Ferguson wasn't afraid to shake it up a little bit by bringing in a few players here and there and selling a few. Now, Liverpool appear to be getting rid of players, but as Andy said, or if Andy's right in terms of their lack of transfer activity, do you think that'd be a bit of a concern for them, given they won't be strengthening? Is Rod still there?
He's on mute.
He's on mute again. He's probably in the bath, doesn't want anyone to hear. Caught him red-handed last time.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, well, yeah, it is a concern because with a quick turnaround, if they do pick up a couple of key injuries, then that's going to derail him. So, in the past, you know, even Origi this year has scored a few from when he's come off the bench before the lockdown. So he's done well for me. He's going to probably be leaving. It's a concern. But you know, if they don't get any injuries and they bring the player, I'm sure they're going to bring someone in. They can't just stand still. They've just won the league. Some players are going to leave in. I'm pretty sure if a deal comes up too good to miss, that Liverpool pull the trigger, and because you've got to strengthen, you've got to keep going because teams are getting better. City won't be as bad as they are. Chelsea look really, really strong with the players that they're bringing in, and United are going to get better as well. You'd expect Tottenham to get better. You'd expect Arsenal to improve as well. So, yeah, you expect them to bring one in, but yeah, if it was a Liverpool fan, I'd be concerned if anyone got injured. If no one gets injured, then there's nothing to worry about.
Mm. Okay, brilliant. Right, let's talk about Man City. right, Antonio, first of all, how are Manchester City perceived in Spain? Because in the UK, there's a lot of football fans that say, well, if it wasn't for the money from the Arabs, Manchester City wouldn't be where they are. And I agree with that. But are Manchester City taken serious in Spain?
Well, they are taking serious, and now, mainly now, they are facing Real Madrid in Champions League to see what happens. And well, you know, in Spain, there is a lot of controversy around Guardiola, around Pep Guardiola. You love him or you hate him. And there is told as well, there is always say this thing that, yeah, Guardiola can spend all the money he wants on signing players and getting the players he wants for his squad. And insane, I think, the amount of players that Manchester City has on loan all over different parts of the world. It was one of them playing for us this season, Pedro Porro. They got as well a deal with Girona here in Spain. And the perception here in Spain about Manchester City is like, as you say, that they can spend a lot of money and Guardiola is always going to have whatever he wants in order to get the titles and get the success they are aiming to. But he's struggling with the main target, the Champions League, and getting there into the final or semi-final. So, there is a lot of, as well, there are some critics to Guardiola and not being able to go to the next stage after the amount of money he has spent.
Do they ever say that Guardiola can't win the Champions League without Messi?
It's been called constantly. Yeah, and it happened with Bayern Munich. Happened now. It's happening now with Manchester City. And he is not being able to go to the next stage of winning the Champions League. Winning the Champions League, which requires your top level in key moments of the season, in special games, and sometimes he has been destroyed by the rivals in these key moments. So it's been told that Guardiola is not being able of getting to the final of the Champions League and winning the Champions League, and something that it's been told about not having Messi. Well, everybody wants to have Messi on their squad, but now it's also told here in Barcelona what's happening to Messi. He has not Xavi Iniesta, so
There you go. Brilliant.
You know what I mean, no?
Yep. Because we've had
which
that.
Which side of the fence are you on? Do you love him or do you hate him?
Excuse me? Sorry?
Which side of the fence on were you, Guardiola? You say that in Spain people either love him or hate him. What side of the fence are you on? Do you love him or do you hate him?
I used to love him. I used to love him, mainly when he was at Barcelona. I think the Barcelona team under his management was probably the best team besides the Spanish national team I've ever seen playing soccer, if I ever watched. But last years, I think sometimes he has this kind of manager attacks that in special games, in special matches, he wants to change everything and how can I say, sorry about my lack of words sometimes, like...
No, it's okay, you're doing well.
Feeding his ego with changing the distribution of the players, the tactics, and sometimes he complicates himself too much. I like the way, the style, the playing style he makes philosophy about. But I think sometimes you have to be more practical. And he's too much politically involved.
Yeah, you know? with Catalonia and all that.
I like football. I like this is a kind of a. I appreciate him as a manager, as a coach, but last season I'm getting distance. I love what he did. The this football club Barcelona of 2009, it was a masterpiece. It was a masterpiece. I never watched a team play like that. I never would, and I still love to watch it. But I have to say that it's disappointing me a bit the recent years. I'm sorry about the long speech. I have been.
No, it's fine. Well, look, let's talk about Ferran Torres. As Andy alluded to earlier, the deal looks like it's on. It seems that Guardiola sees Torres as the man to replace Leroy Sané that's gone to Bayern Munich. Now, he's a Spanish under-21 winger. Is he the type of player that can replace Leroy Sané, or does he have a bit more to his game, do you reckon, Antonio?
Not sure at all, man. Not sure at all. He has been a player with a lot of... been talked a lot and already important, despite he's very young. But maybe it's too much saying that he's the player able to replace Leroy Sané, no? What do you think?
Well, I haven't watched enough of him to pass judgment. What do you reckon, Andy? I'm sure you've seen him, no?
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah. He's an interesting player. Yeah, sorry, man.
That's all right. I'm actually gutted that he's going there, to be honest, because we were linked with him pre-COVID.
Oh, no. Another one.
We actually was linked with to come in. You know, like I think I was telling you in the shows before the lockdown that we were looking to bring in some players to transition our front three. And he was definitely a player that was looked at by Jurgen Klopp. But he's a really exciting talent, still. Really exciting talent. Listen, I think he's going to take a little bit of time to settle in the Premier League. You know what the league is like. It's fast, it's furious. You know, it's powerful. He's still going to have a lot to learn to get to the pace of the Premier League. But someone like Pep Guardiola, he's got a great manager there who can help him for sure still.
Were you just looking in your car there?
Not me.
Was it you and your Porsche, Rod?
It sounded like
not me. I heard someone locking their car. I heard it.
Yeah. It was me, sorry, mate.
It was you.
It's funny, man. It's an app, man, and I have to mute it because it's an interesting app here we have that tells you about where is the police, where do you have an alcoholic test undergoing, and it's based on the... on the information of the users of the BAP provides.
Oh, so, see.
Bloody hell.
That app wouldn't work in London.
Sorry, guys, about it.
That app wouldn't work in London, especially if it tells you where the police are, because people will be going where the police aren't.
It's pretty useful, man. Some people say it's like the Bible.
That app would crash within 5 minutes in London.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Anyway, look, one more thing before we move on to clubs here. David Silva is leaving Manchester City. He played his last game in the 5-0 victory over Norwich. For me, he's got to be in probably the top five best attacking midfielders that the Prem has ever seen. Rod, would you agree?
Well, yeah, definitely. Top five, possibly top three, He's been a real good servant for City. No problem for the manager. No problems off the field. A real good teammate. Real good teammate. You know, assists for fun, goals. Yeah, like I say, a real good teammate, and he'll be sadly missed at Manchester City. You know, when Torre missed, they missed him for a bit, and they'll definitely miss David Silva even more so.
Absolutely. And Antonio, what is the general feeling about David Silva? Because we haven't really heard about him doing much for the Spanish national team, because in the past we've heard about Fabregas's, we've heard about Xavi's, Iniesta's, but no one has really spoken about David Silva in that same breath.
Well, maybe he was at the same time in the same team with huge players.
Mm.
You mentioned Xavi, you mentioned Iniesta, Cesc Fabregas, but he got 125 caps. He scored a lot of goals. It was a time that he was expected to be like the Lionel Messi of the Spanish national team. Mm. In the World Cup of 2010, in South Africa, his role was... he disappeared of the team because Vicente Del Bosque wanted to give more consistency to the team of, with Sergio Busquets and Xavi Alonso, Xavi Iniesta, too many midfielders. But he's a legend. He's a legend. Maybe not as much as we would have wanted with Spain, but for Valencia, I remember amazing performances. He's a wizard. He was called the wizard El Mago de Arguineguín. Arguineguín is the village in the Canary Island where he's from. And I was quite surprised when he signed for Manchester City, how quick he adapted, he adjusted to the Premier League, to the pace of the Premier League. I was not sure about it back in the days, but mainly because he's from the Canary Islands, he's used to the very nice weather. He's a very talented, skillful player, but maybe his pace is was not as fast as the Premier League requires. Mm. But he did it amazingly well, man.
We have lovely weather here, so I don't know what to complain is. It only rains 360 days in a year, not 365.
Oh, man, yeah. But there are a lot of Spanish players, mainly from this area of Spain, that travel when they go to the Premier League. But it's curious because, well, José Luis Mendilibar, it was a coach, it's the current coach of Eibar. He coached as well Real Valladolid, and he coached Eibar back in the days when David Silva was, it was on 2004, I think it was like 16 years ago, he was 18, 19 years old. And he always said that he's the most talented player he has coached. And he used to say, Mendilibar, that this season that he spent in Eibar in second division, he suffered a lot, but he gained a lot of maturity, and it made him a better player. And José Luis Mendilibar always speaks out wonderful things about David Silva, which is a really talented player, and I think he's moving to Lazio, if I'm not mistaken.
Who's Silva? Okay, oh, I didn't know. I thought it was going to Inter Miami, but hey, if he's going to Lazio, that's a good move for him. Very good move for him.
I read that today, man. Okay. I read that he was conversations, but who knows? Inter Miami is trying to sign different players around the globe. I also heard some rumors about trying to sign a player of our team.
Oh, really?
I don't have any information about that. It's only rumors or Twitter rumors, you know?
Yeah, well, there's been talk about him going to New York City FC, obviously because of the connection with Man City. But, you're right. I think the Daily Mail did put an article today about Silva possibly going to Lazio, but he's been a fantastic player. All right, let's talk about the other two teams in the top four, United and Chelsea. Rod, I think, we're happy with the way that season has panned out. I didn't think we'd get top four, in all fairness, given that, the way that Tottenham had a good season last season. I thought they'd build on it. I thought Arsenal might have been in the mix, Wolves, obviously, and, Leicester were doing pretty well. But United are in the top four. I can't complain, I guess.
No, you can't. Where we started, when we come back of lockdown, we'd have took fourth, and to finish third is no mean feat. So, yeah, it was a good end to the season. We started off really well. It dipped at the end, but then with the win at Leicester and securing Champions League, it was a good season. And hopefully, with the team still left in Europa, we can get to the final and try and win that, and then it'll be a quite successful season.
Okay, so if we're talking about moving forward, and potentially challenging sooner rather than later for the title. I know we're miles away from Liverpool. We're like, what, 33 points away from them. So that's a massive...
And we are 33 points, but no, that was at the start of the season. I think we've changed a little bit from them. I think we've got a little bit better with the additions and the Greenwood coming in. So I don't think we're still a bit behind them, don't get me wrong, but I don't think we're 33 points behind them now, because it shows that by coming back off to lockdown that we're not far behind them, but we're still a little bit behind them.
All right, so how many players away do you think we are? How many signings do we need to make?
I've told you before, it's at least three or four, mate, at least three or four. So this I'm saying, people expecting us to be challenging next year. I don't see it.
Nah, not
yes. I just don't see it. But, you know, if we bring in Sancho, possibly a defender, people say, oh, if we spend 100 million, we can't bring anyone else in. Well, there's people going to go. People are going to leave. So can you get money off? There was talks that Dalot might be leaving. Can you get... No, like 30, 40 million from someone like him. So there's deals to be made with players going out, and then can we bring another player in? And then obviously see where we're at then.
Yeah, well, Smalling doesn't want to come back, so it looks like he might get a permanent move to Roma. Apparently,
yeah, well, there's 30 million. Cause he's
done, they're talking 10 million, mate.
No, I don't. You can't be. No, that's just rubbish, mate. You can't go to Italy, and you know, United bought him for 10 million, so they're not going to lose a million on him 10 years down the line. It's just with inflation and the prices have gone up, that's just a joke. So I'd at least double, you know, 20-25 and accept for him, because you know he's done really well when he's gone out there. So if they want him, they're going to have to pay for him. I'm sure someone else will, if someone else will in Italy, or someone else who's been watching him and keeping close tabs on him.
Yeah, well, Sanchez might be heading to Inter permanently. We still need to find someone to buy Phil Jones, but yeah, you're right. I think we are four or five players away, but we're four or five players away to make a serious challenge for top four regularly without any issues, because we know the other teams are going to improve. But let's quickly talk about Chelsea, Andy. Beginning of the season, I was one of the few people that felt that the transfer embargo would be doing them a favour, because Lampard already was working at a disadvantage because, you know, he lost Eden Hazard in the summer to Real Madrid. And I thought, well, that would be the perfect cover story for him. I wasn't able to bring in any players. But you know what? He's trusted in youth. Okay, they've got over the line on the final day of the season. They're in an FA Cup final. KG was very critical of Lampard the other day on the pod, and we had a little bit of a back and forth. But I think he's had a good season given the circumstances, don't you?
100%. Definitely still. I agree with you. I think for the youth especially, you know, Chelsea have got some phenomenal young players, a lot of them out on loan. And I think due to the transfer ban, it gave Frank Lampard a win-win situation, which by giving him that situation, it sort of takes the pressure off him. His team, you know, the games that they've played really well, when you've seen they've really expressed themselves, free-flowing football. Obviously, he's got a lot of work to do defensively. The goalkeeper doesn't help, I think. I think it's actually an embarrassment that he's £11 million more than Alisson, who was £66 million. I just find that absolutely... whoever decided to do that deal should have been fired by now, if I'm being honest, because that is the worst bit of recruitment. I think he's in the... If I'm being honest still, probably one of the worst goalkeepers in the Premier League, if I'm being honest. There's so much more better goalkeepers than him in the teams that are in the bottom half of the table as well. You know, there's already talk of Nick Pope, you know, maybe replacing him. You know, the rumours I was reading the other day. But yeah, back to Chelsea. I think it's a good achievement. I think they're going to nick the cup as well on the weekend. I think they will have a bit too much for Arsenal's backline. But again, that's my opinion. And then, that is not bad at all, is it? His first season getting his team. Who did Chelsea finish sixth last year?
Yes, because they won the Europa League, didn't they?
Yeah. So it'll be a really good, a brilliant achievement for him, mate. Right up there with a good season, winning an FA Cup and qualifying for top four.
Right, Antonio, I have to ask you this question because we spoke about this the other day. David De Gea, hasn't had a great season. In fact, he hasn't had a great couple of seasons. Kepa has struggled a lot since joining Chelsea. First of all, what are the perceptions of these goalkeepers in Spain? Because I know they both came over with big reputations, but De Gea had a shocking 2018 World Cup, and you know, as I mentioned, as Andy mentioned, Kepa has been terrible this season. So, what are the views of these goalkeepers in Spain?
Well, it's a tricky question, my man. It's a tricky question. Kepa Arrizabalaga. I was surprised the other day about when I read about his stats with Chelsea. It's he has a looks like he hasn't saved anything. It was really bad stats. I was really surprised. He played for Valladolid when he was 21 years old on loan from Athletic Club, and he had a sensation. Well, he played 40 games, and he was a really mature and a keeper with a lot of personality. Such a nice character. And it's considered like the future of the Spanish national team. It's, Madrid also fight to sign him some seasons ago. It has a good reputation in Spain. And David De Gea had the sensation that the people, the supporters of the Spanish national team, they don't want it as main keeper, main goalkeeper. Because he has huge mistakes, huge errors with the Spanish national team. You remember you mentioned it about the last World Cup, silly mistakes. My sensations, I think both of them are really nice keepers. I'm still shocked about the Kepa stats. What I don't like about De Gea is I think his reflexes are awesome, and he's able to do amazing saves, but sometimes he's above the crossbar. He's not able to go and grab the ball, and he's a tall keeper, a tall goalkeeper. But for me, I'm not very happy with him, and it's not. He's able to save insanely.
Yep.
But sometimes he commits silly mistakes, and. He's tall for not being able to go out of his comfort zone and grab the ball. That's my opinion. And Kepa, I don't know what has happened. He had last year this incident with Sarri, and it had a lot of headlines in Spain. I don't know what has been happening with him there at Chelsea. Maybe he wants to leave. I don't know. I can't understand, though.
Well, let's quickly go back to David De Gea, because I remember a few years ago under Louis van Gaal, De Gea was very close to joining Real Madrid, but apparently something happened to Real Madrid's fax machine and the deal didn't happen. But he hasn't been the same goalkeeper. And I know people are going to say to me, well, he was Man United's best player for a couple of seasons. And yes, I agree he was. But he's making silly, silly mistakes time and time again. Now, if he were to go to Real Madrid, Antonio, back then, we know what the Real Madrid fans are like. They'll get in the white handkerchiefs out for Cristiano Ronaldo. So can you imagine what they would have done with this goalkeeper if David De Gea did join them?
I don't think he would have succeeded in Real Madrid. I think I don't know how his mental strength, but I have the sensation sometimes it's a bit weak. And with Spain, it happened. And the Real Madrid pressure, Santiago Bernabeu's pressure is huge. It's insane. So if you commit a mistake, you are crucified. So I don't know. I don't think. And you have to remember, he comes from Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. So, whoa. You know, if you go from Atletico Madrid to Real Madrid, big pressure on it. So I don't think he will have succeeded in Real Madrid. I think he's good at Manchester United, but I don't like his silly mistakes and his mental weakness. I think sometimes he when he commits a mistake, he goes down and not able to recover. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the perception I got mainly with his Spanish national team appearances.
Yeah, fair comment to make. Thank you very much. Okay, now, there were four teams vying for a Europa League spot, but only Leicester and Spurs got them. I was going to say the other team was Sheffield United, but the thing is, Leicester were challenging for top four and then they fucked it up. So I wouldn't say that they were in the shout for the Europa League spot. They were more for Champions League. But Spurs, Wolves, Arsenal and Sheffield United all went for Europa League. Spurs and Leicester got those spots. Jose Mourinho was celebrating as if Spurs had just won a trophy. But quickly, Andy, you know, Brendan Rodgers was in charge at Liverpool. Just about missed out on the league title, went to Celtic for managerial rehab, as I like to call it, came back, started pretty well at Leicester, but then fell off as expected given the amount of injuries that they had. Now, I don't want to say that it's because of the injuries that Leicester fell off, because that was mostly the reason, but part of me thinks that Brendan Rodgers isn't this great tactical manager as we're led to believe. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Do you know what, Phil? I think definitely played a massive part, because when you have a plan how to play, you need certain players to execute these plans, and when reinforcements are coming in and they're not as good, then it's the plan's not going to work as well, you know. But listen, you talk about the four teams that didn't qualify, that were going for Europa. I was going to ask you this, though. Would you think that the lockdown substitutions played a massive part in this? Because obviously Sheffield United and Wolves have got very good 11s, haven't they?
Mm.
But then this five substitution thing, I think the stronger teams, it just benefits them massively.
Spot on.
You know, would you think that played a big part in Sheffield United and Wolves sort of demise?
100%.
These games and, you know. And I think that's just a big shame, because before that lockdown spell, I'll put Sheffield United and Wolves ahead of Tottenham and Arsenal and teams like this, to be fair.
Well, look, I don't think it's any coincidence that the three teams that went down, who we'll talk about later, probably have the weakest squads in terms of personnel, in terms of depth. So yeah. I think it applies also for the Europa League and the Champions League spots. If I went on the Low Limit Football podcast just before the season resumed and I said the teams that are going to get in the top four are the ones with the strongest squads with the most depth. Have you seen with United, you know, can pretty much fill every position apart from centre-back with two players. So
yeah, and the five subs help.
There you go. Okay, great stuff. Rod.
Yeah, no. Oh, sorry.
No, Karen.
I was just going to comment on Jose's celebration.
Go on.
I mean, really? I mean, really, mate? Jose Mourinho, they were jumping up on the touchline when they there was in the Champions League final last year, and they're jumping around on the touchline qualifying for six. I mean, as a Spurs fan, I'd be worried about that, if I'm honest, mate.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask Rod about this. It seems to me that Jose was playing up to the cameras there, Rod. We've heard the scenario in the sense that he walked in where Spurs were 14th and now he's taken them up to 6th. And I was kind of expecting him to do what he did at United, to say, oh, with this squad, you know, becoming second is the biggest achievement of my career. And for him to turn around and say, well, I came to the club at 14th and now we're 6th. That's a great achievement as well. Do you think he was playing out to the cameras more than anything?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, he was talking crap, but basically he was winding them up, wasn't he? He's having little digs at, you know, Bruno Fernandes with his 20 goals, with 20 penalties. Yeah, he's definitely, you know, he couldn't really argue with the squad argument, because with that squad, like Andy says, they were Champions League finalists last year. So, yeah, he was a bit over the top, you know, seeing as though he's a he's a supposed winner, which he is, but, you know, I wouldn't be jumping about it for qualified 6 in the league for Europa League. Yeah, I just think we should have panned to Roy Keane for that one. So
that would have been brilliant, Rod. That would have been superb. What's he doing? Yeah. Where's he jumping up there?
Because the Aston Villa one, you can understand them. They were over the top a bit, but no, they just survived to stay in the Premier League. They were gone. They looked like they were gone, like 3 weeks ago, and survived. Yeah, it's probably
Yeah, you expect them celebrations, don't you, Rod? But not finishing sixth when you when you're a Champions League team and we're in the Champions League final last year.
Yeah, especially when you've won what he's won. It's just it was weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
A couple of his coaching staff were just like, "What's going on? Do we jump in and jump about as well? Do we do it? Is that what you go to a Greek wedding, Andy, and everyone's dancing and then they throw someone in the middle? Like, what the fuck's going on? What am I doing in here?"
That's exactly what it was like. If I was a coach there, I'd be cringing, man. especially it being shown on TV as well. You know, in a purple tracksuit, which didn't help. It looked like a bunch of Barneys jumping around in those sets.
2 plus 2 is 4.
It was quite hilarious, man. To be honest, I actually thought Barney was on. To be honest, at first I had to double take.
Oh, crikey. Antonio, do you know much about Wolverhampton Wanderers? Because they've got a Portuguese head coach, and I know it's not the same country as Spain, but Nuno was at Valencia at some point, and they've got Adama Traore, who spent some time at Barcelona. Do they make any headlines in Spain?
you mentioned about this guy, Adama Traore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Nuno, the coach, I think he coached for Valencia, another team, maybe, I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I know it's a Porto,
much about them, if I have to be honest. But I think let me check. Adam Traore, you have mentioned this guy, no?
Yeah, he was a...
this guy came from the youngsters of Football Club Barcelona.
Yeah,
he was a skinny, and now he's like a beast.
Yeah.
Like, he's super muscle, no? How is he doing, man?
Well, he's doing very, very well. Apparently, Liverpool are after him. So, yeah, he's very quick. He's technically gifted, very strong, as you said. But they've had a very long season because it started in July for them with the Europa League qualifiers, and it's continued. But again, up until maybe a week and a half ago, they had the chance of getting into the top four, but they just fell off through probably big mistakes that they made defensively and all that. But yeah, I think Wolves have got a big future because Jorge Mendes is very heavily linked with the club, and they've got a Chinese consortium that owns them. So yeah, we might see a bit more from Wolves. Okay, let's not talk about Wolves, and let's talk about Arsenal then, amigo, because you know about Mikel Arteta. He started off pretty well at Arsenal. I think he's done very well since coming in. It's a depleted squad. There's nothing really special going on at the club. I know Aubameyang's been good, Sacco's been good. They're in an FA Cup final, though. So, yeah, what do you make of Mikel Arteta at Arsenal so far? Because he replaced another Spaniard in Emery.
I think he can do it better than Emery. I'm not a very fan of Unai Emery. I think and now he's going to coach Villarreal here in Spain. He has a good CV because he has been coaching abroad in... in PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, Arsenal. I think Mikel Arteta, I like this guy. And I like how he used to play. He was a really good player that he never had the chance to play for the Spanish national team. I haven't seen many games of Arsenal, but I think he's perfect for this role. And they can make Arsenal play very well, and he has been recently last season's the second assistant coach of Guardiola, so it's a good school for him. Has been a good school for him. I think he's going to do it very well. I think he's a nice guy, humble, and a nice with a nice concept, football concept, at least. One that I like it, and I think it can make Arsenal be as successful as this team used to be back in the days. I don't know what is your opinion, guys, but I think it's going to be a better coach for Arsenal rather than Unai Emery, which I think his teams don't play much. It's a good coach on getting the results, but not on making their teams play.
Yeah, I think we've seen Arsenal playing better football. And what I said a couple of weeks ago on the show, Antonio, was Arteta is doing something that many managers would be very scared to do, and that's drop a lot of the players who are on big money, like your Mesut Ozils. You know, he's not afraid to make these big decisions, and it's almost as if he's trying to cleanse the squad and make it a more harmonious atmosphere.
And he's trying to make a team instead of gather individualities.
Mm.
What are you trying to mean?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good point, man. And I think, for example, is what Zinedine Zidane has managed to do at Real Madrid.
Yep.
It's a sports team. It's a sport that it requires 11 players to be all in one. And when you have a team or a group of players that every one of them goes to the world by their own, you are not going to be successful at the end of the day. And I think it's the problem is having now Barcelona. You've got Messi, but what else do you want? You know, you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's an important thing in football. Sometimes we want to collect important names, important players that sell players who sell a lot of T-shirts, a lot of kits,
mm-hmm.
but compelling creating a team which is a
Yeah, is he gone?
I'm done, man.
I thought you disappeared there for a second. All right, let's talk about Sheffield United. We can't forget them, Andy. Chris Wilder, manager of the year runner-up, done a fantastic job. I for one thought they were going to go down at the beginning of the season, to be fair, but yeah, they proved me wrong.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was the first 2-3 weeks when the Premier League started, I was on your show. I was telling you about Sheffield United, about, you know, their values, old school. I don't know if you remember when I was saying I fancy them doing really, really well this year. And they did. And I go back to, I think they were just so unlucky still with their squad that, you know, after this lockdown, it was difficult for them, you know, with the 5 substitutions for the teams they played against. It worked against them. And they just ran out of steam in the end, didn't they?
But Andy, do you think they're a bit too predictable, though?
Yeah, I just think when they, you know, when the league obviously lost its flow with that big break, that really didn't help Sheffield United, did it? Because, you know, at the time they found a real good formula against most teams, to be fair, you know, and that flow just unfortunately, you know, wasn't there anymore when they came back from lockdown. I think they started picking up a few results, didn't they? After the first 2 or 3 matches where they played like what you thought was going to happen to them this year and get relegated.
Yeah.
That's how they played that first 2 or 3 games after lockdown. But then they started sort of getting their rhythm back a little bit in a formula that they like playing. But yeah, it became a little bit unfortunately predictable for them. But I think again, still a lot of that was due to the break.
Yeah, fair point.
In the season.
Fair point. Rod, I don't know what to ask you about Burnley that I haven't already asked you before, because it just seems to me that we know what we're going to get from Burnley. We know how they set up. We kind of expect them to go through a lull for a season, but then they bounce back and prove everyone wrong, apart from you, because you like Burnley. What do you expect from them next season? Do you expect more? Do you expect more of the same? Or do you think they're going to be embroiled in a little bit of a relegation battle?
Well, it depends on Sean Dyche. Does he stay? Does he go? Do they give him what he wants? Or do they negotiate and give him a little bit what he wants? Because, you know, he obviously wants to progress, and he's just standing still at the minute with Burnley. He can't really do better than, you know, top 10. So yeah, he's kind of pissing the wind every year, which is a struggle, because he's done a fantastic job. He's changed the whole club round. He's they're established Premier League team now. They've got a Premier League training ground. So yeah, he's, you know, if, like I say, do they bring players
strengthen players in, or do they keep on bringing the same kind of players that are going to give them the same kind of results? So that depends on Sean Dyche. Does he stay or does he go? I'm pretty thinking he's going to leave, because he's probably had enough now. He's been there 8 years. He's probably sick of doing the same thing over and over again. Like I say, he's not going to get better than 10th with the budget and the team he's got. So, like I say, it all depends on Sean Dyche, on the question.
Fair enough. The Klopp of the Alps has kept Southampton up for another season, Andy. A manager who I think most of us believed that he'd got the boot after that 9-0 loss against Leicester City at home in October, and then they went through a bit of a shitty run of form. But to be fair, as you know, Steve alluded to on the show, who else came on? I think it was Trevor Chalice came on. He said that, you know, he knows someone at Southampton, and he said once they had that bad run of form, you know, Hasenhüttl was just training every day, coaching every day, working hard, and the results came to them. So again, another club that I'd say underinvested in the summer. I think only Shea Adams really came in, but Højbjerg looks like he could be joining Spurs. But my question to you, Andy, sorry for the long-winded one, they need to really, really invest in the summer, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really, you know what, still, I really like that manager. Maybe it's because he's called the Klopp of the Alps.
It's the baseball cap, isn't it? It's the baseball cap and the tracksuit.
You just love it. Just an oversized Klopp, isn't he? Like, you know, just
doesn't he look like the guy from Dumb and Dumber, though?
Yeah, he does. The baseball cap hides that, doesn't he? But no, do you know what, still, I'm really pleased that he, because like you said, the Leicester result, it was just abysmal, and how he was still in the job after that. But for him to turn it around, and let's be honest, Southampton became a very difficult side to play, you know, these last few months, you know, real difficult. You know, good counter-attacking side. Danny Ings was on fire. Che Adams started, you know, becoming accustomed to the Premier League. Another player that I rate, and I think he's going to be a surprise next season still. But yeah, I, you know, if Højbjerg looks like he's going to Spurs, isn't it? That's
apparently
what.
Apparently so, yeah.
I'm reading. So if they lose him, you know, they're going to need to reinvest in that area. But again, they've got good youth, and I think they've got a good manager there that trusts in their youth. So that could be a possibility for them, bringing a few more through the ranks there. You know what Southampton's like anyway. Their youth are brilliant.
Yeah, and then you go and sign them.
Yeah. They're our feeder club. But I think he's done a brilliant job there, mate, especially, you know, how many managers would have crumbled after that 9-0 defeat? They wouldn't have known, you know, how to, you know, bring the squad back up again. But he did it, man. And you could see them players were fighting for him, you know. They were playing hard for him still.
Yeah, that's right. Right, let's talk about Everton, Rod. Ancelotti came in, I think, February time? Was it December time? I can't remember. It was beginning of the year. He came in roughly the same time when Arteta joined. Only one home defeat in the league all season. Okay, they finished 12th. But I think you've got a manager here that's very competent. Who's got a dog now?
Sorry, mate, go on.
He's a very competent manager. Do you think they'll give him money in the summer to... I keep saying in the summer. We are in the summer, for fuck's sake. Do you think they'll give him money to spend soon? Because he was talking about the club lacking energy in certain areas of the pitch. Obviously, Leighton Baines is retired. I think they're going to need to improve in certain areas. Do you think you'll get that support?
Yeah, I'd expect so. They've been quite flush in the transfer market of late. So you'd expect them. You know, we did turn him around when he came in. They were in trouble when he got there, and he's got them safe, and he got them playing better. But at the end of the season, they kind of tailed off. So, but to answer your question, yeah, they definitely need to strengthen. I definitely think they will strengthen. You know, they brought Richarlison in. They brought... who else did they bring in for like 40, 50 million?
Sigurdsson.
So, you know, they I'd expect them to bring strength in. They've got Moyes Keane. I think he'll stay there because, you know, I think the manager obviously knows him and can communicate better with other managers that have been the manager there. Mm. So,
But to answer your question, yeah, I think they will give him the right funds. Well, the funds that he wants. No, they can't go daft. They're not Manchester United, not Manchester City, or Liverpool spending 80, 90 million. But I'm pretty sure they can spend 40, 50, 60 million on a couple of players.
Yeah, I think if they trust the manager and have faith in him, you talk about a guy that's won Champions Leagues everywhere he's gone.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like you said, how can you not trust him?
Yeah.
With his CV.
Yeah. There you go. Newcastle, Crystal Palace and Brighton. I don't really know what to say about these three teams that we haven't said before, because Palace is always going to be about Wilf Zaha, will he, won't he go. Brighton is going to be Potter working his magic, blah, 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 blah. And Newcastle, who gives a fuck about Newcastle, let's be honest. And I know Newcastle fans are going to get on my back for this, but who actually gives a shit about Newcastle apart from Newcastle fans? So can we just, like, erase them from this discussion? Is that fair to say? Or do you have something to say about these three teams?
At the start of the season, Steve Bruce was a sitting duck, and they didn't want him there. He wasn't going to do anything, and he pissed it for him. Absolutely no problems of relegation, and he's not giving massive. He's probably had a better season than Rafa Benitez, because the player left to go to Leicester, so he's lost him. So Steve Bruce done a fantastic job there, and it should be more mentioned.
Okay. Definitely, I agree. Okay. And also, still, yes. If they get new owners, will we be talking about them, as title winners in 4 or 5 years' time?
Oh, don't. There's going to be people singing Fog on the Tyne. That album's going to be re-released. Gazza's going to get his money,
But the thing is, though, still, what I would say, if you was to take the owner of Man City away and strip them back down to Man City before the Sheiks came in,
mm-hmm.
And if you looked at Newcastle or Man City, I put Newcastle as a bigger club.
Ooh.
Than Man City.
City won the league in 67, mate. Newcastle, I don't know when they last won the league.
If a new owner comes in, is it Steve Bruce going to be able to stay, or they bring a top coach in like Eddie Howe?
They'll get rid of him. Oh, fuck. this guy. See, we spoke about this on Sunday. And I did say, if fucking they get new owners, you can see Eddie Howe being unveiled as the new manager. Oh, my days. Fucking hell. I'm going to retire from social media.
The thing is, though, still, is it hard to say? Would it be a surprise, seriously, if Newcastle got these owners that they're not challenging for a title in 3 or 4 years?
No, it will happen. The deal's going to happen, and they will be challenging. There's no two ways about it. But
it's
right
crazy,
now,
absolutely crazy.
Right now, let's just enjoy them in their PlayStation 4 Pro Evolution kits at the moment. Come on, let's just enjoy that. Okay,
Paris, Gerald.
Let's see. Right, Antonio, are you still there?
I'm still here, my man.
Okay, sorry to keep you, my friend. I promise we won't be too long with this one. There's there are five teams that were trying to stay up, and three of them went down. There's Bournemouth, Watford, and Norwich City. Now, I don't know if the Spanish press know too much about those three teams. Bournemouth have a very questionable manager. Rodri likes him. I don't like him. The British media love him. His name is Eddie Howe, and I call him Eddie Hype because there's a lot of hype about him. But I'm glad that Bournemouth are down because of him. But Watford went down, Norwich City went down, but Norwich City, I think, were always going to go down, weren't they? They were down in January, weren't they, Andy? But Aston Villa and West Ham survived. Now, you probably know more about Aston Villa than the other three teams that I mentioned there, Antonio.
Yeah.
Aston Villa,
of course I do.
Steeped in history. They've won more European Cups than a lot of English teams, to be fair.
recently, Aston Villa has been on the Spanish media due to Pepe Reina locker room celebrations. He was dancing every city.
Okay.
If you have seen it.
La Bamba. He was dancing to La Bamba.
Yeah. Para bailar La Bamba. He was dancing and singing while recording himself on his phone.
So that's what Aston Villa are famous for in Spain, La Bamba.
Yeah.
Pepe Reina's dancing.
And Pepe Reina being a clown. He has been an amazing keeper. but he's as well a great buddy inside the locker rooms. Mm. He was within the Spanish national team and other teams, and I was the other day reviewing his whole career. He has been a lot of years playing for a lot of teams. I was a bit surprised about the amount of teams he has been playing. But he's still there, rocking.
That's right.
Living la vida loca.
Okay, Ricky Martin, come on now. do you know much about Jack Grealish? Does that name ring any bells for you?
It sounds remembered, but I don't know much.
He's a young English footballer that a lot of people, we think he's a very good player. He's got a lot of talent. But the thing is, what happens in the UK is that whenever there's a young English player that comes on the scene, a lot is made up about them. We've heard James Maddison. Who's that fella at Norwich City, Andy? What's his name? I forget his name now.
Cantwell,
that's the one. Jack Grealish. But Jack Grealish is tipped to be one of the next best things in the UK, Antonio. Maybe there's someone... Maybe something that you might want to look into.
It sounds me the name, man. I haven't seen play. The name sounds me. How old is he?
24?
Okay.
So he's quite young. Okay. Well, let's talk quickly about Watford then, because Javi Gracia is now the Valencia manager. He was at Watford before getting sacked. Then Kike Sanchez-Flores came in, and then he got sacked. And then Nigel Pearson came in, and he got sacked. And then Watford got relegated.
Perfect.
Yeah, interesting situation there, Andy.
Classic story of a team relegated. Like four different coaches in one season. To expect.
Yeah, and they have Italian owners as well.
Yeah, let's not forget one of the managers was there twice in under a year.
Yes, that's right. Kike Sanchez Flores. Yeah, that's right.
Flores was the first that was sacked, and then he came back in as number four, didn't he? It's pathetic, mate. They deserve to go down still. They deserve to go down. You can't expect to get good results on a football pitch when the stability at the club is like that.
No, you know, of course not.
It's ridiculous. I mean, four coaches, they deserve to go down, mate. They really did. And they made a massive hoo-ha as well during lockdown about returning. They wanted the season null and void. So they deserved exactly what they got still, mm-hmm. I'm being honest.
Well, I'm checking the stats, and they only got 8 victories, 10 draws, and 20 game losses.
Yeah, and one victory was against Liverpool, believe it or not.
For God's sake, I can't believe that game. God almighty, that was just unbelievable. I still think about that game. I think, gee, how did we lose to that team? But it's, you know what, still, as I said, just there, you can't expect stability at a football club when you're you know bringing in so many coaches, mate.
Yeah,
it's pathetic, absolutely pathetic.
Yeah.
But why did this happen? It was about the ego of the owners. The players were not coming along with the coaches. How can this happen?
Well, let's see. I mean, in the last. How many managers have Watford had in the last 5 years? They had, let me think.
16?
probably. It started with Malky Mackay.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, he was there in 2011. It was Mackay, Sean Dyche, Zola, Sanino, who else? Oscar Garcia, Billy McKinley, Jukanovic, Kike Sanchez-Flores, Mazzari, that's 9. Marcus Silva, 10.
I'm not far off.
Gracia, Kike Sanchez. So we're talking about 14 managers since 2009.
Absolutely ridiculous. 14. I didn't even know that. I was actually just exaggerating there when I said 16.
14 managers in 11 years. That's Olympiakos levels, mate. Is Marinakis the chairman? Jesus Christ.
Wow. That's actually madness. I didn't realise it was that many. I forgot about half of them names that you mentioned there.
That's some
I forgot Zola was terrible there, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think Viali was there as well at one point, wasn't he? Viali was there in 2001 after Graham Taylor.
Oh my God, honestly.
Brendan Rodgers was there as well, Andy, just to let you know.
Yeah, bloody hell. Honestly, it's unbelievable how many changes they've made. How can you have any sort of plan or philosophy when it's just mad. They deserve to be where they are, mate.
Wonderful.
Sorry, right. Watford, but.
Okay. Let's talk about two managers that Rodri really likes. The first one being Eddie Howe, and the next one, David Moyes. Moyes kept them up, Rod, but Eddie Howe is down.
Yeah, well.
Let's start with Moyes. Come on, let's talk about Moyes.
Moyes.
They was always going to stay at one, because there was never free. They were never. It was always three teams worse than them. Mm. With Antonio, and they've got some good players at West Ham, Noble, and they've got some sprinkled about. They've got some good players, so you expect them to stay. If they went down, then that'd be it. He would never get a job again.
Well, he went down with Sunderland, didn't he? He didn't have a great time at Sociedad.
Sunderland was sinking ship. Sociedad, you could say it was an experiment. It obviously went over there, it didn't work. Scottishman speaking to Spaniards. How's that going to work? Even English can't understand the people from Scotland.
His attempt at pronouncing Larramendi was fantastic. Larramendi.
yeah, it was funny, wasn't it?
He done a press conference, didn't he, in an accent? Yeah. He done like a Steve McLaren accent, didn't he? Like,
didn't Joe Barton do that as well in France? Didn't Joe Barton?
Joe Barton, yeah, it was funny that
one.
Joe Barton was definitely taking the piss though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but, had to be. Had to be. But as Rod said, they got, you know, Suchek had a good back end of the season. Jan Malenko scored a couple of important goals. Fabianski was pretty solid. I think defensively, centre-backs, Diop and who's the other fella? The Italian, Ogbonna. They did pretty well. And Ben Johnson looks like a decent fullback, doesn't he?
Yeah. So they've got some good players sprinkled around. So, that, you know, when it was becoming an issue, that the players turned up and they got themselves out of it very easily, in fact, in the end.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about your mate Rod, Eddie Howe. Let's talk about his Bournemouth team. He battered his players at full time, you know that? Did you see the comments that he made to the BBC?
No, what?
He basically said that they should have turned up throughout the season. They can't have relied on the last five games to
Yeah, they left it too late, didn't they? And, you know, by looking at it, they've got a lot of money owing out, so there could be issues there. Because they've come a long way, these, in a small part. There's in small, what's the word I'm looking for, in a small space of time. So they need to sort the debts out. And see who's staying, who's going, because they've got some good players as well. They've got Welsh Kader Brooks, who they've missed all season. You know, Fraser's gone, but Wilson, will he stay? Will King stay? You know, so they've still got some good players sprinkled about there. If King and Wilson go, there's the goal's gone straight away. So, yeah, he's got a big job there now, because, like I say, there'll be a lot of players, there'll be a lot, like an exodus now of Premier League players or Premier League teams picking them, nitpicking the good ones out of there.
Yeah, I fear for them. I really do.
Nathan Ake, and there's another one.
Yeah, I think they're going to get. I think it's going to be back-to-back relegations, like with Portsmouth, mate. I really do. Because
you're just wishing.
No. Yeah, but I'm not saying that Eddie Howe's going to be in charge. We don't know that if he's going to be there in the summer, but I think that...
Well, like I say, if they've got a big debt to fill, and they're going to have to get rid of the players, because that they'll get a parachute payment, but it's not 140, 150 million that they would have got.
Yeah. I've got to be honest with you still, in regards to Bournemouth, their recruitment has been really, really strange. I mean, I don't know whether Michael Edwards is an absolute genius at Liverpool or the Bournemouth... football operations is just thick. But we sold them Jordan Ibe for £20 million, Dominic Solanke for £22 million. They bought Brad Smith off us, who had played one game in the under-23s, for £8 million.
They've obviously got a deal with someone with Liverpool, because Wilson was there as well, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. People keep on Twitter, we call Michael Edwards, our football operations man, a genius, but surely you've got
you've got to have real bad knowledge if you want to pay that.
Solanke might have got himself a little move there at the end, getting them few goals.
Yeah,
at the
getting
end.
A few goals. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even still, though, Rod, 22 million we got for him.
Oh, no, it's a lot. It's a lot for. And I can't Jordan understand.
Ives. Where's Jordan Ives? Jordan Ives disappeared still. Where's he gone?
Yeah, he's crashing the car window. He's crashing in the houses, isn't
he? They released him, mate. Yeah. They released him.
Is he actually been released as
he's
well?
He's released, mate. Yeah, so £35 million, and he's gone.
Wow, unbelievable. I mean, there's your biggest problem there already, isn't it? Recruitment. They haven't bought well, mate. Haven't bought well.
That's right.
How can you let one of your assets like Fraser run his contracts out? That's poor management, man.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I think Ryan Fraser wanted to move to Arsenal in the summer, last summer, didn't he? And that didn't happen. So it's similar with Wilf Zaha. He probably just down tools and said, fuck this, I can't be arsed with this shit.
Think, you know what, I'll just fucking down tools and wait to be contracted, then you'll get me thrown out.
Yep.
Exactly.
And you'll get more money out of it.
But it's like you said, Rod, it's just poor management, isn't it, all round?
The recruitment,
the way they've run the club. And you know what, you expected a bit better there. You know, they've been in the Premier League for how long now? Five, six seasons still?
They did start off well, but like he says, like Eddie Howe says, they just left it too late. They weren't good enough in the midst of the season, and when they got beat, they got battered.
Rod, they lost 19.
1-0 or 2-0, it was like 5-6.
They won their first few games, but then they lost 19 out of the next 25.
Yeah. And they, they weren't just 1-0s or 2-0s. They were like 4-0s, 5-0s, 3-1s. They were batterings.
But
this is what I mean still. They've been in the Premier League for so long, you'd expect them to be able to gain the experience behind the scenes on how to become even stronger, you know, and in the end, they just weakened themselves by their poor recruitment.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can see that. The poor recruitment, Watford, you can't just keep on bringing these managers in and out, it's just going to catch up with you. And Norwich, you know, they didn't strengthen, they kept up with probably the same squad. And yeah, so everyone's got a reason for going down. It's just.
Yeah.
Bournemouth is definitely, they've been a little bit of, like I say, unlucky as well because the players that were injured. But ultimately, yeah, it was poor man management, poor people, poor players they're bringing in. And just not getting the results.
Yeah.
Not with the manager's Norwich, fault. Definitely not the coach's fault.
Yeah. With Norwich still, a lot of people said when they got promoted into the Premier League, there was sort of a season ahead, weren't they?
Yeah.
No one really expected them to get promoted last year. They made sort of a late surge. So with Norwich, I think it was just expected, wasn't it, for them to go down. Especially with not bringing anyone in, as you said, they kept the same sort of squad. So you know, maybe I think Norwich will be all right. You know, they might lose Cantwell next year for the upcoming season, but I think they'll keep the majority of their players there. So I think they'll have a good chance of bouncing back up.
Absolutely. Right, let's switch over to La Liga. Antonio, you still there? Is he falling asleep?
No, not yet, my man.
Yeah, it's like midnight in Spain at the moment. So let's make this quick for you so you can get some sleep. Barcelona, we mentioned some Premier League clubs that didn't invest wisely. You can say the same for Barcelona, can't you? They've been on the decline for a few seasons, but this season just showed how bad it is for them. Messi has been fantastic, don't get me wrong. But then you look at the likes of Rakitic, you look at the likes of... what's his name? I forgot the guy's name now. Piqué. Sorry, how can I forget that? Shakira's husband or ex-husband, whatever he is. You got Piqué. You got a lot of players that are in their 30s at the moment, Antonio. Barcelona are really, really struggling with money. They're struggling with players on big wages. Do you think it will take them a bit more time to be one of the best teams in the world again?
The future doesn't look very promising for Football Club Barcelona, in my opinion. They signed nice players. I had a lot of hope on Frenkie de Jong and Antoine Griezmann. But Arthur, now they have exchanged with Juventus with
Pjanic. Pjanic, yeah.
But looks like they have no model. They are not signing properly. They are not trusting on the youngsters as they used to be. like it looks like the owners, well, the owners, no, the board of Football Club Barcelona in the last 4 or 5 years, they are losing somehow their sense or the philosophy they were carrying on for a long time. And now I think like they sack Valverde, now they sign Quique Setién, kind of like trying to recover the sense of the philosophy of tiki-taka, of touching the ball, and this is football style. But they don't have the players. Arturo Vidal has scored a lot of goals, and who could expect that, for example, Arturo Vidal could have the best shooting on target ratio of La Liga. They have scored almost every time he has shot on target. So they were doing well until the lockdown, but after the lockdown they were not having the same winning pace as and Real Madrid did amazingly well, we have to say. So I'm a bit disappointed with Football Club Barcelona, and I think they haven't recovered yet of last editions of Champions League, where what happened in Roma, what happened last season with Liverpool, which was embarrassing. It was the same. So I don't know. I think it's a team with lacking a spirit, lacking a model, an idea. I don't know. I don't have many hopes on Barcelona, for example, winning the Champions League this season. I don't think so.
So, do you think that there's a chance that maybe Mauricio Pochettino would take charge? I know people are going to say, well, he said that he will never go to the club because of his loyalties with Espanyol. But from what I've heard, they've been in contact with Pochettino, Barcelona.
It has been told here. It has appeared on newspaper that the Football Club Barcelona board has been contacting Mauricio Pochettino, but it's a sign, it's a proof of the lack of sense, of idea of this board. The Mauricio Pochettino, as I understand, is not the type of coach that matches the philosophy of the Football Club Barcelona, the style, the playing style of Football Club Barcelona. And they have been as well contacting Koeman. Xavi Hernandez was almost there. Xavi Hernandez, which is now coaching in Qatar, and he has told so many times, he has said so many times that he wants to coach Football Club Barcelona.
Mm.
So it looks like they don't have a clear direction towards to go. So I don't know. Mauricio Pochettino, I don't think it would be the remedy for Football Club Barcelona. And Messi's getting old, and I think Messi's getting pissed off. I know it sounds huge, but I know there have been rumors about Messi leaving Football Club Barcelona after finishing his contract in 2021.
Yeah, there's talk about him going to Inter Milan, isn't there?
Yeah. I read the other day. So I think there is no clear direction of Football Club Barcelona, and it's a bit disappointing because they will always be there fighting with Real Madrid for La Liga, but Spanish La Liga has become maybe not in the recent seasons with Atletico and the Madrid appearance under Cholo Simeone, but it was a time it was like a Scottish league with only two contenders. So I don't know. Maybe this season they probably don't get any title, which is kind of surprising. Surprising, yeah. For a club that in the last 12 seasons has been collecting leagues, cups, Champions League, and they have Messi, which is, in my opinion, the best player of the world.
Okay. Well, let's talk quickly about Real Madrid, because they raise a lot of eyebrows by reinstalling Zinedine Zidane as head coach, but he's come in, he's gotten back the La Liga title, only 3 defeats this season, which is incredible, and believe it or not, he's actually got Karim Benzema being that lethal striker that he once was back in the day. So, yeah, it's been a fantastic turnaround from him, and he's made a lot of shrewd signings, hasn't he?
It's been insane. After the lockdown, Real Madrid has been like a killing machine. It's and a really strong team. A really strong team under Zinedine Zidane management. He could play worse or better, but they get the results. And you have the sensation that they are a team, a compact team. That and they have Benzema, Karim Benzema. I haven't seen him as slim, as quick, as sharp ever. I think he has reached his top. I think so. And it's been told that he was a clear contender for the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, really?
Not going to be Ballon d'Or. But, yeah, it was rumors about Karim Benzema being on the... like being a clear or a favorite for winning the Ballon d'Or, the Golden Ball Award.
I can't believe he's 32.
L'Equipe is a French
newspaper, yeah.
Newspaper,
yeah, French, but he doesn't get on with Didier Deschamps, and he's fallen out with the French FA, hasn't he? He's not in their good books, so to speak. But I can't believe he's 32 years old. How time flies.
Yeah. He's still young, yeah, but he's sharp. This season he has been. So you can see how he moves along the whole wide of the pitch, how he touches the ball and combines with his teammates, and he's brilliant. And now he's scoring. He's scoring and not missing chances as he used to do other seasons. So I think and now, how many seasons, how many years he has been out of the French national team?
Oh, wow, because he played...
4 or 5.
Yeah, because didn't he play... Which World Cup did he play? Was it 2014 he played in that World Cup? Yeah. And then that was it?
Yeah, I think after this World Cup he was out. After this dodgy thingy. So I don't know. I read the other day that a lot of people in France is asking, okay, Didier, call him. But he's a pure talent. He's a pure talent, and now he looks like he's focused as he never was. So, yeah, Real Madrid has performed very well. I don't know what's going to be happen on the Champions League. On the second leg with Manchester City, but he deserved to leave the title definitely.
Antonio, we have a very proud Welshman on the show in Rodri, and obviously Gareth Bale is the same nationality. He doesn't seem to get on with Zinedine Zidane, and we've seen a lot of jokes from Gareth Bale with the whole golf references and all that. What can you tell us about the Spanish press's perception of Gareth Bale? Obviously, he's done remarkably well, scoring 2 goals in the Champions League final against Liverpool, sorry, Andy, and also contributing in other seasons to Real Madrid's success in Europe. But, yeah, what can you tell us about the way the Spanish press talk about Gareth Bale?
They talk, he's becoming in a meme. It's like sad to say that because he's a fantastic player, but he's not playing, and he's one day he appears like with a mask on his eyes, like he's taking a nap or on the bench. So it's like he's not taking it serious as well about this game with the national team. He appears with the flag, blah blah blah. So now it's for the Spanish press, it's like a joke. It's like a joke. It's a player that he's enjoying life, he's enjoying living in Madrid, but he doesn't want to play much. He's just enjoying his golf and life in Madrid. He's just happy whether he's playing or on the bench.
This is like
he's lacking motivation, I think. So.
Yeah. This is like a new thing for Real Madrid, isn't it? Because I don't think we've ever seen a player behave like that. It's usually the club that throws the player out. But right now, it's the player that doesn't really care too much about the club. Now, do you think it's because of Zidane? Because we know their relationship was quite fractious during Zidane's first tenure.
I disagree. Then.
No? Okay.
I disagree on that. He has been like this with all the coaches here in Real Madrid. And I don't know what happened, but in Madrid, well, in Madrid and as well Barcelona, there are some players that they enjoy the life, the lifestyle. I don't know. I'm not going to say going out, but I don't think it's the case of Gareth Bale. But for example, Cassano, the Italian player, he was on his memories, on his biography, he tells that about the being in the hotel and only worried about eating donuts and having girls visiting him on his hotel room. And he was not close to safe for a football player. As well, McManaman was as well. He used to say that he was happy being on the bench. I don't know, Drenthe falling asleep. That player falling asleep on the bench. So you can find this type of players as well in Barcelona. It has happened. You, for example, Ronaldinho, he was the biggest player ever, and who was like astonishing. And suddenly going down, his performances, his appearances, it was like a shame. And he quit Barcelona, he left Barcelona from the back door.
Yeah, it's
it depends on the player. It depends on the player, on the mentality, and some players they prefer the happy life and not to look after themselves as they should.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, this has been a fantastic show. Antonio, thank you for joining us. I know it's quite late in Spain, so really, really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Great stuff. Anytime. Before we let you go, is there any social media that you might want to promote? Twitter, Facebook, anything like that? Instagram?
Well, all of them. Real Valladolid, at Real Valladolid. and you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you manage, if you are able to understand the Spanish, but as well, we have an English account in Twitter. Where we drop updates of the club and or information and all the typical stuff that appears on the social media, soccer or the football social media accounts. So yeah, you can follow us and get to know more about our club, which is humble, but we are growing step by step, little by little.
Fantastic. Great to hear, mate. Rod.
Thank you so much.
Rod James Diggs.
Excellent. Andy?
Andy_MP7.
Lovely. Now, thank you, everyone that's been listening throughout the season. We've tried to keep you guys entertained throughout COVID. This was our season review, I guess, or just like an evaluation of the clubs. I'm sorry for all the clubs that I've offended. I'm sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry kind of thing. But, you know, we're pressed for time and all that. And if your team isn't really worth talking about, we're not going to talk about them. So, yeah. Anyway, so we'll be back pretty soon. We're on Twitter at Shoot the Fence. We have an Instagram page. And we'll be back very soon. So until next time, take care.